there's no change in the commitment to this project. Like, we have committed to it. It's a binding agreement between London and Dublin. The earliest, and all things going well, the earliest that this project can go ahead is late November of this year. And if it's ready to go in November, the project will still go ahead. The only difference is that the money that was available for the back end of the year will be available at the beginning of next year instead. It's a reprofiling of money. There is a process now undergoing. There will be a republication of orders in the north, and the Department of Infrastructure in the north is leading on that. And that's inevitably going to lead to a court challenge again. But hoping that everything comes out the other end, the earliest possible date for the A5 to start is November. And I can understand and completely sense the frustration around this project. We've been talking about it now for 10 years. That road in Northern Ireland is getting busier. The traffic's getting busier. There's a lot of construction workers back living in Donegal, travelling up on a Monday morning. And it's really, really frustrating. And look, last week, if you were to speak to anybody, there would have been question marks around when will the A5 start. But at least now what this will do is it'll give it focus, and to reassure people that the binding commitment between both governments, both London and Dublin, is still there.
But it's the opposite of reassurance, though. What message do you think this sends to the courts, for instance, when one of the co-sponsors of the project, to all intents and purposes, has pulled or deferred €27 million funding? Surely that plays into the hands of those objecting to this project. If, as I say, one of the key sponsors, you can frame it up whichever way you like, is deferring a massive investment into it.
Well, look, the court challenge will be on other issues. I mean, the reason why this road was delayed in the first place was because of an environmental impact survey that wasn't carried out along the banks of the Foyle, and that's why we're at this impasse. There's other reasons why we're at this impasse, such as the lack of assembly been sitting. But the commitment by government on this side is €85 million. It's over a three-year period. That commitment is still there over a three-year period, and the only difference and the only change that was indicated by Leo Varadkar yesterday was if the project starts, which we hopefully it will in November, the project will go ahead, the project will start, and the only difference will be that the Irish funding commitment will be in early 2020 as a result, as opposed to late 2019.
This is all because of an overrun on the Children's Hospital. You know yourself, people in your constituency dead against this location from the get-go. The whole thing's been an absolute disaster. And are you surprised that the Minister for Health is going to come through this scandal?
Well, look, this is an issue which government takes responsibility for. There's no question about that. And whether it was Pascal Donoghue, Simon Harris, or Leo Varadkar in a public commentary, that this is an issue that we would not like to have been here. We know that the issues around procurement is an issue that people have been talking about for a long number of years. I mean, I've publicly been and personally been advocating the need to ensure that we look after our smaller contractors. The idea of a big contractor getting bundled into big projects precludes the smaller contractors. So we've to learn a lot of important lessons from this. But one of the biggest lessons in the Children's Hospital was that there were two processes involved before going to tender. And one of them was to come up with a guesstimate without the design complete. And that's obviously a very, very hard lesson from an economic point of view. And we need to learn from this, because a children's hospital is needed. I know Donegal people and Kerry people would have advocated it for it being on a greenfield site. There's a lot of arguments for having it near St James's Hospital.
Do you think it's going in the right place?
Well, look, preferably, I remember speaking to a gentleman about 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and he strongly advocated, you know, build it in the centre of Ireland where everybody could get access to. But when you listen and hear to the people involved in health and needing the specialised surgeons, and the co-location beside St James's is really, really important. But look, we have this site. There's been over €80 million spent on it to date. We're committed to finishing this project. I think it's a project that's been discussed for over 40 years. A children's hospital is needed. There's a lot of hard lessons been learned in terms of procurement here in my own department in my first 2 days in the job. I see what happens when things go wrong in relation to certain companies, and we have to ensure that there's overruns or this idea of lowballing prices coming in at the lowest price and then adding on later on. That's not acceptable.
Yeah, but people are frustrated, Minister, and you must feel this on the ground when you have such a catastrophic situation. You've had the nurses strike, cervical check. People can come into the door, they can apologise. Pascal Donoghue can go on RTE and take his share of the blame. But at what point does someone actually take responsibility by actually being removed from their position? Is sorry enough? In any other walk of life, if it was here at Highland Radio, down the road to any of the shops in Letterkenny or Donegal Town, if someone made a mistake, even a fraction of this on a scaled sort of setup, they would be gone for their job. Why is it acceptable simply just to say, I accept my responsibility, I apologise, I should have been more fulsome in the answer? People are tired in this country of that lack of accountability in politics.
Well, I think where people are tired, it's in relation to the whole area of procurement. Like, if you're building your house, you get a price, and that's the price that you stick by, unless there's add-ons and justifiable add-ons. And if you look at the major bundling of projects, it's administratively easy for officials to have that type of a system. But I've always advocated that where you have reputable firms that work on a smaller scale, there should be options for them. So I think that's the space we need to get into now. And the question that people have always asked in relation to the bigger projects, and we've had a very negative history in our own county with McNamara Brothers, who a lot of subbies were busted at that time. A lot of them are still reeling from that, and there is an issue with the type of procurement processes we use, and we have to.
But you're not going to answer the question about government responsibility. Ministerial responsibility.
Look, government is responsible.
Because if you were in opposition, you'd be calling for Simon Harris to resign, and I'd be put my life on it.
If you look at the history of capital overruns, like, capital overruns are not a new thing. Yeah. And, you know, whether it was the port tunnel where it was originally came in, I think at 130 million, and it ended up being a billion. So capital overruns over the last 10 to 20 years has been a very, very negative pattern in relation to construction in this country. And we have to look at nipping this in the bud. And one of the things that Leo Varadkar said yesterday, this idea of a company coming in, lowballing the price, and then coming back looking for extra add-ons at a later stage, like that's completely unacceptable.
What also would be unacceptable to people is if this overrun leads to, say, funding commitments for community hospitals, the Shield Hospital in Ballyshannon, the redevelopment of other hospitals. Can you say categorically that any commitment that was made to community hospital facilities will proceed on schedule, that this overrun will not affect that in any way, shape or form?
Well, look, what I can say is that the capital commitments to the projects, community hospitals, whether it's the Shields, whether it's Remelton, whether St Joseph's or Cairn or Buncrana, all the different hospitals that are in line for funding, that there is a commitment. The only change will be that there may be a difference of a start date of a couple of months.
So there will be delays in start times to some of these renovation products, building projects in Donegal. You can confirm that this morning.
Oh yeah, I can. I mean, there's no question about that, because what we've been looking at here now is how do you reprofile the funding. And one of the worries in the last week, and one of the worries I had, was that there was going to be a 50 million reduction in the Department of Health, but that has been reprofiled to 24 million.
So what kind of delay are we looking at, Minister?
Well, I would say, take for example, we were waiting for Cairn Donagh to be signed off in around this time. I would say we'll be looking at maybe 2 to 3 months of a delay in that. So that's frustrating for the people involved in Cairn Donagh. It's frustrating from a point of view that they've got such an active group on the ground, great leadership, and they've been expecting that to go ahead around this time. But look, that will go ahead. That commitment of funding will go ahead. It's a part of a 51 million euro bundle that will not be impacted on. So this is about ensuring that all the projects that we're committed to, and the projects that we're committed to before Christmas in relation to St. Joseph's and Remelton. And I've spoken to Jim Daly as recent as yesterday evening, and he has reassured me that those projects will continue as well.
But also they will be deferred somewhat.
Well, I mean, if one thing I've learned, whether it's school building programs or whether it's people looking at projects, if they have a certainty around when it's going to start and know that it's going to start, and what I'll be asking for the officials from within the HSE is to prepare information for the different groups to ensure that they know when it's going to start. Okay. But the big question is, there was concern around whether a lot of these projects would go ahead or not, or whether they'd be shelved, or whether there'd be funding cuts. There's going to be no funding cuts, but there will be
deferrals. Obviously, you know, new videos have emerged from Letterkenny and Ashone of people's houses, as you know, worsening with this Mica block issue. That's a massive tranche of money that would be required for the redress scheme. The first question, is the redress scheme still on schedule? When do we expect anything to be confirmed about that? And secondly, inevitably, is this another spend from government that could be deferred or pushed back?
No, we've committed at Cabinet, we've agreed at Cabinet that Mica redress scheme will happen. What we've been looking to do is to look at a scheme that will come in quicker, that won't require legislation. So I'm happy to say that there was a meeting between Pascal Donoghue and Owen Murphy this week on Monday, and we're committed to doing that. And I know now we're in the space of very, very shortly we'll be bringing the final proposals from a numbers point of view and also from a financial commitment point of view to Cabinet in the very, very near future. I don't want to speculate saying it's next week or the following week, but we're in that space.
You can understand people's concerns too, that, you know, and we're through the nurses' strike, but while I have an opportunity to speak to you, that you weren't vocal on it, at least locally. I don't know what you said nationally, and people were unclear if nurses had your support. As I say, we've come through, and midwives, we've come through that situation. It seems at this stage it remains to be seen. Just from a minister's perspective, as I say, in opposition, you would have been down on the picket line. Explain to me in politics why that was not possible last week.
Well, look, first of all, I certainly am in the position, as many, many people were throughout this whole campaign, in terms of the support and respect for nurses and the work that they do. The position I was in was a very difficult position, because I have responsibility for 65,000 teachers. They are part of a public service stability agreement as well. And the unfortunate thing was that if government was to make a move outside the Labour Court recommendations, outside the WRC, outside the stability, the Public Service Stability Act, or Pact, I would have been in a position then to look at the new entrant teachers. I'd be in a position then to, and questions would be asked of me, well, what if the government moves in relation to the nurses, what's going to happen to the teachers? Everybody knew that. And while that was going on, there was an extraordinary sympathy for nurses, which I obviously felt as well, because everybody has some family member or has had some experience in the hospitals, and we know and value the work that nurses do. But I'm glad that there has been a decision made that the strikes wouldn't go ahead this week. Now, there still is an issue where the nurses still have to vote on this particular, decision by their union leaders, and we have to wait to see the outcome of that.
But and finally on that, because I know we're both a little short for time, are you concerned that your responsibility being teachers, but of course Gardaí, Force elsewhere, are going to look at this now and see if it opens up pay claims for them? I mean, that must be something that's certainly at the front of your mind over the next while.
Yeah, well, look, I'm on public record on this station. I think it was the second day in the job in saying that there is unfinished business with regard to new entrant pay for teachers. There's teachers in the staff rooms that are on different salary scales doing the same jobs, and that is something that I feel that there's work to be done, and I'm going to continue to work with the union leaders. We have an agreement up to the end of 2020, but in the meantime, I certainly would be advocating very strongly that this anomaly, this gap in pay for new entrants, is something that is kept very, very much on the agenda and on the radar in advance of the next pay talks.
Okay, and very, very finally, been contacted by the mother of Danielle McLaughlin, who you would know, of course, and she's asked me to ask you, and I'm going to do it, that since the commitment from Leo Varadkar that their family would receive support because, of course, her daughter was murdered overseas, that hasn't been forthcoming. Perhaps it's maybe next time you're chatting to Leo, it's something you could mention to him, because it's causing great upset, of course, here.
Yeah, I'll do that. Obviously, the officials and Department of Foreign Affairs have a role to play. Letitia found the meeting with Danielle. The Danielle's mother was very, very important and very valuable. And certainly, the feedback I got from him was that he was in touch with the Department of Foreign Affairs. But I'll certainly convey that message back, and I'll mention again that there's follow-up needed here.
Minister John McHugh, thank you very much.